and Bible studies, and I don't know what exactly God wants to do, but I know He wants to fill this barn. What good is a barn without a harvest? And so God gave us the barn, and God's going to give us the harvest. So we believe that. What a great word of God in the house on Sunday. Brother Stephen's doing some awesome work in the pulpit, and we appreciate the good word of God. I don't care who you are, that's good preaching. Praise God. So we're gonna hustle on tonight. Hey, by the way, if you have not registered, if you're a married couple and you haven't registered for the marriage retreat in March, if you're single and you just want to register in hope, that would be fine too. Why not start learning before the needs arise? That would be wisdom, I think. But we're going to do something. I usually give you a book for that retreat. But this year, I'm working with the group that is formed up by Jordan Peterson and his daughter, and they have a understanding myself survey that you take. And it's based on the big five personality traits, and it merges the partners and looks at where they fall on the continuum with regard to each of those areas of personality. And I raised that with Ashley and Stephen earlier this week, and they took it and they have merged theirs, and they were really gratified by the help that it offered. So it's very complex and very sophisticated, and not in your having to take it. It's very simple, but rather the way that it offers you suggestions about how to navigate the differences in your personality types, and it is very helpful. I think it's going to be as helpful as some of you have found the five love languages. Through the years, I hear more feedback from folks about the five. Well, my love language is, or his love language is. And so that little book had a great deal of impact in this fellowship. And I believe this study is going to do the same thing. I think it's going to be very helpful to you. So if you wouldn't mind registering, because I'm going to go ahead and buy these. They're like vouchers or something. And so I'm going to have these ready for you. And my hope is that we can take it before the conference or the retreat. So we'll be getting back with you on that. Tonight we're going to be reading in the last chapter of 1 Kings. We finally made our way to the last chapter of 1 Kings. But these are going to mesh together, and we're going to be bouncing between the Chronicles and the Kings. Matter of fact, the story that we're going to work with tonight is a story that in the Bible study we work with out of 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And it's a storyline, a narrative that we use quite often, but essentially in the study on the origin of evil. And so that's where it comes up in the Bible study. And this weekend's messages were full of emphasis on the Word of God. And how many of you love the Word of God and are glad to be in possession of the Word of God and walking in the Word of God and having your house built on the Word of God? And so we're going to move a little further into a discussion of the Word of God tonight. But the Word of God is inseparable from God Himself. God is Spirit, John 4 and 24. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Word of God issues forth from the Spirit of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, and everything came forth from the Spirit of God by the Word of God. So everything in the creative world, everything in the natural world, the stars in the heaven, the tiniest plankton in the ocean, everything that moves and every inanimate object, all of those things are responsive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God because they came forth. Now, we know when we get to the end of this, the heavens and the earth are going to be rolled up like a scroll. And when He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away, that's a literal comment. heaven and earth are going to pass away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the Word of God will frame that. And so from beginning to end, from your first moment of consciousness, everything you're made of, everything in the world around you is responsive to the Word of God. It is without a doubt the mode of operation, the methodology of God in the natural world. It is the way that God touches your life. It is the way that God calls men and women. It is the operative, functional mechanism by which God builds his kingdom and works in the lives of individuals. Everything is responsive to the Word of God. And we're reading beginning in verse 5, 1 Kings 22. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. If you love his word tonight, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we magnify you, and we thank you for the privilege of handling your word, for the privilege of building our lives and our homes upon your word. We thank you, mighty God, for your word active and powerful in our lives. We praise you, and we bless your name. So, everybody say praise the Lord. So this is the beginning of a very, very important day in the history of Israel and Judah. And after the events of that day, after the discussions, and after the prophecies go forth, the king of Israel makes a decree and says, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. He's wanting to go to war at Ramoth Gilead against Syria. And the word of God has told him what is going to transpire there. He rejects the word of God. They have sent for Micaiah out of jail, brought him into the king's palace, didn't like what he had to say, sent him back to jail, and locked up the word of God as if that would change the course of events. And so Ahab had Micaiah in jail at the beginning of this story. He didn't tell the messenger, go find Micaiah. He said, go get him. They knew exactly where he was. And now, after the conversation in the palace, it's back to jail with you, buddy. We're done with you. You contradict everything I want. This word of God, it stands in the way of everything I want. And so he sends him back to jail. And he said, put this fellow in prison and feed him the bread and water of affliction. I want you to know from the outset, you can lock up the word of God, but you can't change the plan of God. And you can't alter the prophecy that's going forth. And the word of God is sure, and it's going to bring to pass the will and the purpose of God. You could put it in a box and sink it in the depth of the ocean, but the word of God is spirit, and it's alive, and it can't be bound up. I'm so glad that we have it in physical form, but the word of God is a living thing tonight. Praise God. Do you have your microphone? Are you ready? Well, then proceed, reader. Verse 1.
And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel.
So they had had a hiatus. There's no conflict between Syria and Israel. Read on.
And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria?
So his position is that he's invited Jehoshaphat down to go to war against Syria. And he's telling in the court, but he's really telling it for Jehoshaphat's benefit, don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us and the Syrians are squatting on it and we need to go and take it back? And he's going to turn and he's going to solicit the help of Jehoshaphat. Now, you know Ahab. He's a Baal worshiper. He's the murderer of Naboth. He is corrupt. He is the enemy of Elijah, the prophet of God. He is married to Jezebel. And so we've talked a good bit about Ahab and all of the problems with him. And now Jehoshaphat, a good but naive and somewhat gullible king of Judah, has come down to be feted. If you read 2 Chronicles, Ahab throws a big feast for Jehoshaphat and gives him presents and really warms him up. And he's wanting him to go to battle because he's not strong enough to go to war by himself. But Jehoshaphat should never be in league with a Baal worshiper. Jehoshaphat should never be seated at the table eating with a Baal worshiper. And all of that is within contradiction of the word of God. Read on. I've given you all this nice, these nice gifts, and I've given you this great feast. Won't you go to battle with me?
Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses.
Don't get in league with the world. Don't make a pact with the world. Don't make a deal with the world, because it'll cause you to compromise the word of God. Read on. So Elijah didn't kill all the false prophets. He killed 400 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. But here now Ahab has another 400, and they're going to prophesy. Read on.
Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king.
I want you to understand me. Whatever it is you want, you can find somebody that'll preach you a doctrine that'll allow you to be that or to do that. Whatever it is you don't like about the word of God, there's somebody in this town that'll turn the doctrine or turn the word of God or close the word of God and make it plausible for you to embrace something that God does not intend for you to embrace. I just want you to know, you don't go church shopping and you don't go preacher shopping. You go shopping for the word of God. That's why we emphasize the Bible study. You need to know what the Word of God says before you go shopping. And then you need to find a pulpit that preaches what thus saith the Word of God. Read on. He just heard 400 prophets that were prophets of Baal and prophets who said what the king wanted them to say. And one of them was so dramatic, he put a hat on with horns and ran around and said, you'll drive them off the face of the earth. This is how you're going to crush the Syrians. But Jehoshaphat, after all the smoke and mirrors and all the noise, is there not a prophet of God? Because once you've heard the word of God, nothing else will do. Once you know the word of God, a substitute won't do. Now, unless you've got ulterior motives, you're not looking for a substitute. Is there anybody in this house tonight that's looking for the real, the true, the genuine, the authentic, the only true and unadulterated word of God? Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of God? And
that we might inquire of him, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him.
I hate him. I hate the word of God.
For he does not prophesy good concerning me.
Because he won't let me do what I want to do. I want to cuss. I want to fuss. I want to dance with bow-legged women. I want to, you got a laundry list of things you want to do, but the word of God says you can't do them. You can find yourself a preacher that'll preach anything to you. But I'm telling you, Jehoshaphat knew the difference, and Ahab knew the difference. And Ahab said, yeah, but I hate him. I've got him locked up. I've got him in the dungeon because he always says bad things about me. Let me tell you, if the word of God says bad things about you, you don't change the word of God. You don't turn the word of God. I heard somebody was in the house the other night tearing pages out of the word of God. You don't tear pages out of the word of God. You turn yourself around. You turn your life around. You make yourself comportable with the word of God. Read on.
Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so.
And Jehoshaphat's such a milksop. Oh, don't say that, Ahab. You hang out with bad people, it's going to get on you. Jehoshaphat's going to get jammed up before this story's over. And he's going to get jammed up because he wants to hang out with Ahab. And he won't stand up and say, you're a reprobate, you're a Baal worshiper, I shouldn't even be here. He just says, oh, don't say that. You're hanging out with people that are telling off-color jokes, and you're like, oh, you really shouldn't say that. You're hanging out with people that are talking bad about people in the house of God, and you're like, oh, you really shouldn't say that. But you're not taking a stand, and you're not being strong, and you're not being assertive, but you really need to be. When you're standing up for the word of God, you need to be as strong as the word of God is strong. You need to stand in the middle of that and say, you're a blasphemer, and I shouldn't be here. You need to turn away from everybody in your circle. Now, if you're going to win them to God, win them to God. If you're going to minister to them, minister to them. But don't let them pollute your spirit. Read on.
Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imla. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes.
They're waiting. They're waiting on the word of God to come.
In a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before him. Zedekiah, the son of
Good. Just whatever you say, say it with confidence. Yeah. Because nobody else will know. But you got to say, Chaniah, yeah. And guess just go on by. Don't stop and be doubtful.
Made him horns of iron and said.
Yeah, this is a guy with the horned hat.
Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors, big production, false prophets. This is an early televangelist. He's putting on a big production. And it's very enticing and it sounds wonderful, but it's not the word of God. I'd rather have the word of God in a brush arbor. I'd rather have the word of God in a barn. I'd rather have the word of God with two or three people that believe the word. We don't need a big show. We need the miracles of God. We don't need a big show. We don't need light and mirrors. We need the anointing of God that destroys the yoke. Read on.
And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them.
Yeah, this is the representative of the false prophets union. And he's there with Micaiah, and he says, now listen, everybody else has said the same thing. Everybody's told him, go up. Everything's going to be good. You want out of here? You come on. Now don't mess this up. And there's always going to be pressure on you. There's always going to be pressure on you to agree to things that are not consistent with the word of God. So don't cause any ripples. Don't cause any problems. Just go along, get along. Don't raise a stink here about your word of God. Read on.
And speak that which is good. Micaiah said, "The Lord, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me that I would speak." So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king."
Now you might think Micaiah is straight up lying here, but he's not. He's part of a heavenly conspiracy that is leading Ahab to his death. And he says, "Oh yeah, go up. Go on down there." Because there has been a prophecy, and the prophecy's already gone forth. And you can lock up the word of God, but you can't change that established prophecy. And there's the plan of God that is already framed up, and you're just walking day by day into it. Those framed up things from the word of God, they're already there. They're pre-existent. They are inevitable. They are unchangeable. The word of God is already forever settled in the heavens. The prophecy is going to happen. Listen, there's going to be a church. You may not be in it, but there's going to be a church. There's going to be a crowd around the throne in heaven. You may not be a part of that crowd, but there's going to be a crowd around the throne in heaven. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." You may not have that happen in your life, but somebody's going to have it happen because the word of God has already proclaimed it. Read on. Ahab knows, because Micaiah told him something pleasant, told him something nice, said, "Go up, O king, go ahead, God's going to give it to you." He knows that Micaiah is lying, because he has never said anything good about him. Because when you're crosswise with the word of God, there's nothing out of that book that's going to seem good to you. And Ahab is as crosswise as a man can get to the word of God. And now he's preaching to the preacher, and he's saying, "You preach to me, preacher. Now you tell me what's right."
And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. The Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace."
Because they killed that little man Naboth that had that vineyard hard up against the palace. And a prophecy went forth. And the prophecy was, where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick your blood, Ahab. Where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, they're going to eat Jezebel. That's what's going to happen. That word already went forth. That is going to happen. And now Micaiah looks out across the spiritual dynamic in the word. Now, let me tell you something. If you want to know which way you should turn and where you should go, you need to let the word of God out of jail. You need to let the word of God out of the lockbox. You need to get the word of God active in your life again. You don't need to be testing the political winds or seeing what your friends feel like about it. You need to get yourself in a place with the word of God, because the word of God can see tomorrow, and the word of God can see what's coming. And if you believe the word of God, you'd be on your face repenting instead of going to your death in a battlefield already shaped by prophecy. Let them return, because they don't have a shepherd. Let them return. He's talking about the men in the army of Israel. They don't have a master, because Ahab's going to die in this battle. Read on.
See,
didn't I tell you he would say bad things about me?
Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me? But
yeah.
And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord."
Now Micaiah is in there, and he's in the zone. He just told them what's about to happen in the natural plane. Now he's about to tell them what he saw in the heavenlies. If you want a glimpse into the heavenlies, if you want access into the heavenlies, you can't get it any other way than in the framing of the Word of God. I'm just telling you, there's no other place to step up and touch the Word of God. Touch the heavens other than by the Word of God. I'm just telling you, you need to let God out of a box. You need to let the Word of God out of confinement. You need to turn the Word of God loose in your life. Now, and you might wonder what I mean by that. Do you ever give people cards, flyers, invite them to church? Let me ratchet up your experience a little bit. When you give that to them, go ahead and say what God has said. Go ahead and tell them. Tell them the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you're going to find righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Just all it takes is one more step. I know you've been brave, and I know it's good, and I know you're doing a good thing to give them the card and to give them the flyer. But take it up a little measure. Take it up a little bit and quote some of the Word of God. Because what that flyer is on a natural plane. And what that flyer represents is a physical connection that they can have and find the things of God. But when you begin to sow the Word of God, you're the sower in Matthew 13, and you're sowing the seed of the Word of God, and the miracle is in the seed, and there's no telling what'll happen. If you start sowing that seed in your school, I heard the preacher talk about it on Sunday night. You need to sow that seed in your office and sow that seed in your neighborhood and in your household. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift up our voice. Let's magnify Him. Let Him out. Let Him out. Don't keep Him. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." John said the young men were strong because the Word of God abide in them. And all of that, we understand it. And you need to have the Word of God down in your heart. And you need to have the Word of God in you and tap into its strength. But you were called to win your world. You were called to be the light of the world. You were called to be the salt of the earth. And the thing, the most amazing thing that God has given you is the Word of God. And it won't do them any good hidden in your heart. And it won't do any good stuffed down inside your vessel. And it won't do any good if all you're doing is keeping it for yourself. You got bread, and our world is starving. You've got what they need, and they need the Word of God. Somebody unlock the Word of God. Somebody loose the Word of God. Praise God. And he taps into the heavenlies now, and he said, "I saw all the way to the throne, and I saw the host of heaven on the right and on the left." And this is one of the most curious passages you'll find in all the Word of God. Read on.
"I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?'"
Okay, I've got a prophetic appointment. I have a prophetic framing. It's already established. He's going to die. There's no way to change that because he's been bad and he killed Naboth. He's going to die. Now I need a spirit. This is a business meeting in heaven. I need a spirit to go and entice him, seduce him, lure him. And if you're walking on the edge between the church and the world, you need to know there are seducing spirits that can lead a king to his death. And they can lead you places you don't want to go. You need to get as close to the church as you can get, as close to the Word as you can get, as close to the altar as you can get.
"And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner."
This is the wildest thing. They're offering suggestions to God. God's doing a buzz session. He's getting feedback from the spirits around him, brainstorming with spirits. Go ahead.
"There came forth the spirit, stood before the Lord, and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said unto him, 'Wherewith?'
And the Lord, who knows everything, said, 'How?'
And he said, 'I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.'"
Yeah, that whole 400 that's been parading around with horns on their heads, he said, I'm going to be a lying spirit in their mouth.
And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also.
That's the word of the Lord. You're going to persuade him. It's going to work. It's not even a question. You're going in the will of God to lead this backslidden pagan to his death.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets.
God put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. In the end time, God sent them a great delusion that they should believe a lie. In the story of Job, it was God that raised up the whole conversation about Job. And so you don't look any further than God in this business. Don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on the spirits. You just look up to God. God has a plan. He has a framed prophetic system that is going to take place. Ahab is going to die. Read on.
The Lord has spoken evil concerning Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near
yes.
and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?
Man, he walked up to that prophet of God and just popped him. Bam! We're not going to really do it. It would be more effective if we could. If you were a willing vessel, he backhanded the word of God. And he said, where did the Spirit of God go from me to you? And that's the attitude you're going to get when you stand up for the word of God. And they begin to talk about things that are popular but not biblical, that are well received but not scriptural. And you stand for the word of God, you're going to be a pariah in some circles. But frankly, sweetheart, we don't care. If it's eight of us and we're on the boat, that's good. If it's a handful of us and we're in the will of God, that's all we need. I don't really care about consensus, and I don't care about the crowd. What I care about is if I'm standing rooted on the word of God.
And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself.
Yeah, a word of prophecy for the false prophet. Yeah, you're going to see this because you're going to be trembling in an inner room hiding yourself before this is over. Go ahead.
And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus said the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction.
Take him back where he was before. Lock him up again. I knew he wasn't going to say anything good to me. I don't want to hear the word of God. I'm telling you, there are church houses all over this city tonight that have locked up the word of God. But all they need to have revival break loose in their midst is to unlock that door and let the word of God out afresh, anew, again. Yeah, Ahab, if you show back up here alive, then I'm a false prophet myself. Read on.
And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead.
They're going to battle on the advice of false prophets and by the wind of prophetic impulse. Read on.
The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. The king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle.
Yeah, and Jehoshaphat went in like a king, and Ahab went in like a regular soldier, and the king of Syria said, we're not going to fight against anybody but that king, and everybody starts chasing after Ahab, after Jehoshaphat, and Ahab is standing at a distance all by himself, and he is disguised. But let me tell you something. You can't hide from the ultimate consequence of the word of God or the prophetic plan of God. You can disguise yourself. You can say, there is no God. But an arrow is going to find Ahab. And an arrow of the prophetic truth of God is going to find you. Ben, you can say, I'm not really a boy, I'm a girl. And so the word of God doesn't apply to me because I'm not really Ben anymore. I'm, what's the female equivalent of Ben? Uh-oh, that may stick. You can disguise yourself. You can hide. You can say any number of things, but you can't hide from the prophetic utterance of the word of God. And he's over in the side of the battle, and he's hidden himself, and everybody starts running after Jehoshaphat. Read on.
But the king of Syria commanded his 30 and 2 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel, and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out.
Jehoshaphat, when he saw what was happening, he screamed like a little girl.
When the captains of the
no offense.
Perceived that it was the king of Israel, that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him.
And so there's chaos. Syria doesn't know where Ahab is. Ahab is disguised, but.
And a certain man drew a bow at a venture.
A man just drew back a bow. He didn't aim, he didn't know where Ahab was, but the hand of the word of God was upon him. He was a pagan. God will get it done. Church, if you don't do it, God will find somebody that'll do it. God will find somebody that'll do it. And he directed that arrow, and it went where?
Boom. Oh. Between the joints of the harness.
The joints in the harness, a seam that ran down the middle of his armor. And it found, if it had hit an inch or two on either side, he'd have been safe. That arrow would never have penetrated. But it found that one little place. Because you can't hide from the prophetic truth. Let me tell you, you may be thinking that you're hiding from the word of God. You may think that you've buried it somewhere deep. You may think that you have it locked up where it doesn't have access to you. But everybody, every rock, every stone, you've got to understand this. He said, if you won't praise him, the stones will cry out. Why? Because they're responsive to the word of God. Everything was made by the word of God. Everything, an arrow in flight, is responsive to the word of God. You can't hide from it. Let me tell you something. You can hide from it all your natural life, but there's going to come a day when there's going to be, you may say, I don't believe it, but there's going to be a white throne judgment, and the King of Kings is going to sit upon that throne, and the Bible said he's going to open up the books, and the books are the books of your Bible, and he's going to judge every man according to his work. You can't hide from it. You can't outrun it. You can't bury the word of God. It's going to reach you at some point. The hope of God and the plan of God is that the word of God finds you now, finds you today, finds you compliant, finds you responsive, finds you obedient, finds you passionate about the word of God. And he takes that arrow in the chest, and a bubble of blood appears because he wants to object, but he can't object. And he's going to stand in that chariot the rest of the day during the battle, and at some time during the afternoon hours, as the battle rages, he bleeds out in that chariot. And when they take him back, and everybody knows the king is dead, they close down the battle, every man to his own house, every man to his own tent, and they go back. And somewhere in the early evening hours, somebody's down by the pool, and they're washing out that chariot. And the Bible says, and the dogs lapped up the blood from Ahab. And then they washed out his armor, and he thought he could hide. He thought he could lock it away. He thought he could put it in a place, a dungeon, a prison. But you can't do that. And that's a theme throughout the Word of God. You can't lock up Paul and Silas, not when the Word of God is down inside of them. God will break that jail wide open. You can't lock up the Word of God. If Peter's locked up in the interior of the prison in chains and surrounded by 16 Roman guards, something's going to give, because the Word of God is going to set him free. I just want you to know, you can't effectively lock up the Word of God. It's always going to find its mark. It's always going to find its goal. It's always going to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. You can nail the Word of God, musicians. You can nail the Word of God to an old rugged cross. But the Word of God will use that cross as leverage to break the doors off of death and hell and the grave. You can't hide the Word of God. It's going to find its way. It's going to accomplish God's. Listen to me. In this house tonight, we love God and we love God's Word. But I'm encouraging you as the church of the living God, don't lock it up. Don't hide it in your heart to the degree that you don't let it out into your city. Be prepared to loose that Word of God and get yourself a prophetic vision of the horizontal and a prophetic vista of things in the heavens. I want you to know that God has that for us. There is fresh bread. This business of living for God is not old and stale and archaic. There is fresh bread. There's a rhema word in the house that is tethered to the Logos. There's a living word in this house tonight that'll heal, that'll set free, that'll bless, that'll prosper, that'll lead you and guide you. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Clap your hands, lift your voice. Anybody in the house love the Word of God? I want somebody that is not teaching a Bible study to make their way to the altar and say, God, I'm going to teach a study. I just want you to open it up for me right now. Somebody that's never witnessed by the Word of God in your city, I want you to come to the altar and I want you to say, God, loose the Word of God in my mouth and let me be effective. Come on, somebody pray. God, show me the field. God, show me the harvest. God, show me where I need to sow it. God, show me where I need to cast it. God, show me where I need to plant it. Come on, every business, every school, every neighborhood, every relationship, everything gets better with the Word of God in it. Come on, you need to be like a surfer out on the crest of the wave of the Word of God. You need to ride the Word of God into your tomorrows.
We hear. victory. Come on. If you got problems in your home, walk up and down in that house saying what God has said in His Word. If you're having problems with your parents, walk up and down in your house and say what God has said. If you're having problems with your kids, walk up and down in that bedroom and say what God has said. Come on, you're walking in a prophetic reality. There's a prophetic frame all around your today and your tomorrow, all around your home and your life. Praise God. Clap your hands, lift your voice. There's so much energy here. We could push this for another 30 minutes. But when that clock goes off in the morning, I want you to think happy thoughts. Praise God. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I'm going to be a vessel for the Word of God. I'm going to tell somebody what God said. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're going to have church. Thank you, Brother Kadarius, for being my reader tonight.